realize this man was a CIA asset. They were going to use his toy company to actually smuggle weapons to the Contras in Nicaragua. Well, that started a long, long saga, and here we are now, 33 years later, and Bob is a dedicated researcher, has done some wonderful, wonderful work, and we had him on last week. Very, very provocative on his remarks about the dangers of solar flares and certainly their potential impact on America. Bob Fletcher, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Hi. Thank you. It's good to be here, Stan. We are on the air again.
We are on the air, right, and Sydney. And so basically, what did you want to talk about tonight? Do you have any other thoughts? Certainly, I was fascinated. Certainly, we see this very, very strange weather in the Midwest. I mean, we're finding snow on the East Coast at this time of year. We're finding certainly massive floods, you know, throughout Europe and throughout many parts of the United States. Excessive rain in some areas and certainly droughts in others. And there's a new wind. I went down to the wharf the other day, and a gentleman who's been, has a restaurant down there, been there for the better part of 40 years, just said, have you ever seen as much wind as we're having? And basically, Chris, the weather is changing all throughout the world. Bob suggested some of this could be related to the solar storms that are taking place, and this can have an impact on the weather, and we are moving in a pattern, and we're coming to a climax of solar storms. Of course, these can have a devastating effect on America, but we're just going to have to wait and see. Fortunately, they've not had the devastating effect, although there have been dramatic weather changes. Do you think the weather changes are related to the solar storms, or is this some other cause?
Well, I think yes. I think the solar, what's going on right now with the solar combinations of solar flares, and then also which are extraordinary, higher and more common than usual in terms of the numbers and volume and the size and how often they take place. And additionally, I think, again, I'm kind of going to get in into that more later on, but not tonight. But I think the solar flares are, that the difficulties on Earth are being enhanced by the incoming of this Planet X that's still quite a ways out. But it's already, I believe, because I know it's affecting all the other planets. So I'm sure that it's also affecting Earth. And in terms of causing variances in the atmosphere of the other planets and all the rest of that way out. So I'm sure that's also a problem.
Well, we'll do that some other evening. What would you like to talk about this evening?
Well, you know, we have to talk about, I think, is what we've warned people about for so long, and that is the encroaching of government spying on us.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and Bob. So he said we really had to talk this evening about the government spying on us. And basically, of course, we're hearing now that they've been Verizon's been picking up telephone numbers government's been picking up intelligence numbers, telephone numbers from Verizon and probably from other companies, and they're recording your telephone numbers. And basically, we heard some of the senators in a discussion saying, look, I'm not worried if they have my telephone number. I'm not worried if the government has my telephone number. And basically, of course, you know, if we can protect people and stop terrorism by them having our telephone numbers, we have nothing to worry about, you know. I'm not concerned about that. And other people are saying, well, they shouldn't be collecting all this information. Well, I heard President Obama on television this evening saying, and he's addressing an audience, and he's saying, I can assure you the FBI and the NSA are not listening to your telephone calls. They are not listening to your telephone calls. And, well, you know, there's an element of truth to that. Suddenly the FBI, ordinarily, if it's going to listen to your telephone call, it's supposed to get a warrant to do that. And the NSA is not listening to our telephone calls. They're having the British intelligence, MI6, listen to our telephone calls. And we list all the telephone calls over in Great Britain and in Europe. And basically, NSA records this by computer. Computers go through them, listen to every call, read every email, read every fax. And then they look for keywords or phrases. And then, of course, if they find something, then a human being looks at this. But basically, of course, then MI6 listens to the calls here. NSA listens to the calls in England. So they can say, and President Obama can go on television and say, NSA and FBI aren't listening to your conversations. Pick the story up, Bob.
Okay, I sure will. The bottom line is, when they say all of those things, they're lying, period. They're just plain lying. And they can dance around and do the two steps. And like you said, the Europeans listening to us and us listening to them. But that's baloney. What the bottom line is, they've got the computerized system. There's several of them. Now we have to, you know, we have what's called the echelon, which we talked about many times quite a while back.
But that's echelon. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check everything we're saying. You've got to get out on the internet, and you've got to look up echelon, echelon. Echelon. And you'll find out that this has been around for close to 30 years. They've been listening to all of our telephone conversations. Go right ahead, Bob.
And with the new computerization now, see, we've gone in a short period of time. back, well, if you just go back to Nixon's time, he had the most sophisticated illegitimate recording system set up in the White House, and that was just a handful of microphones and four or five tape recorders. But and it just tape recorded in real live time. And now with the computerization and the microchip capability, the microchip capabilities now can process a trillion bytes a second. They have that big, that much of a capability in our fly, in some of our helicopters and stealth aircraft now. That, you know, so they don't, it's not like there's five guys sitting around with microphones or headsets on listening to people saying dirty words on their conversations or something, or listening in on something that might spook somebody. They're automatically set up, they're pre-programmed, and they can just zip through thousands of phone calls per minute simultaneously and snag up any single word, which they probably have, I would going to say at this point in time, about 150 trigger words. You know, it could be anything at all, you know, a type of a plastic, an explosive that might work for plastics, a date, a place, a name, somebody's name, the mother of somebody's name in Saudi Arabia. This stuff can be done instantaneously in huge volumes. There are several overlapping operations doing this now. President Bush had set up a thing called Stellar Wind. That's the code name. STELLAR Wind. That's the code name for a national security spy operation set up under George Bush. Well, when Obama came in, he changed it to Operation Ragtime. But it's the same thing. It is domestic collection activity, collecting just general information. And they're not just talking about telephone numbers to find out if your grandmother called somebody that she's not supposed to. That's baloney when they've tried to feed us that. Don't listen to it. It is an outright lie. It's not like something where they're, and they're no longer even playing games with us. I mean, they just come right out, you know, outwardly lie to us. That's all there is to it. There's another operation, and these are all ongoing today. Now, we have already mentioned here three or four. There's another one that's called PRISM, Operation PRISM, PRISM. This is a national security agency program for tapping into the computers. That's your computer. That's Google. Every time you Googled something, it would, and even including your Facebook. All of the Facebooks have been read under Operation PRISM now for a couple of years. They get better by the week. You, in reality, the idea that somebody out here, if you, let's say there was a legitimate terroristic event being planned by somebody, the chances of it going past step number two is ludicrous. The only way somebody could get away with talking on a telephone or doing some kind of a coded junk through the Google or through Facebook or anything like that to a friend or an associate on the face of the earth, for them to go to plan part two or three of a serious terrorist event is almost impossible. So that if it does happen, it's because they wanted it to happen. If they didn't want to carry out one of their own false flag operations, which we've talked about several times in the past, if they don't want to bother carrying out one of their own, they could just have one of these ding-dongs, just like they had a lady here that they just arrested today, apparently involved with sending the ricin, a letter, one of those letters to Obama with some ricin powder in it, which wasn't even manufactured properly to make anybody sick. But she did send it, and she did it to get her husband in trouble. She was mad at her husband, so she did it and made it imply, made it appear that her husband had done it. Took him a couple of weeks, and they caught that felon, just arrested. They ended up arresting his wife because she was disgruntled at their personal lives or something. But the reality now, they're so far with the Echelon program, again, which is several years old. They're so far with Ragtime. They're so far with the Stellar Winds, these all being code names for these operations. They're so far with that now. I mean, and the idea that you know, and people are always coming up with, well, let me tell you how you can get around that. You know, you can do this and do that. Forget it. It's like when you pick up the telephone or send something on through your phone or your computer at all, it's like having these people sitting in your living room while you're doing it. And that's how far it is. And at this point, there's nothing we can do to stop it. The best we can do is inform everybody and let people know and understand how extraordinarily criminal the people at the highest level in our government is. They were bad 40, 30 years ago. When I got dragged into the, as you mentioned earlier, I got dragged into a CIA operation, selling my company, merging it with some bum that's been supplying weapons secretly for our government for 25, 30 years. Since then, they've moved forward every week in such multiples of criminality out of Washington. It's unreal. And, you know, I watched today briefly, one of the news people had dragged out a statement that Obama made when he was running for the presidency. And he said the idea that George Bush and these people are spying on telephones to the people of the United States, that's never going to happen when I'm president. You know, basically that was how clear he was. He was lying then, and he's lying this afternoon because he's up to his keister in carrying out these same operations. It's very scary.
But it was so clever the way he did it. Well, the FBI and the NSA are not listening to you, and that's true. You know, intelligence is doing it, and then they send the information to the NSA. So basically, of course, it's all a cover. But of course, it's a lie. Is a lie. It's a lie, and he knows what's going on. It's not that he's suddenly not smart. But you can check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Project Echelon. Is it really true? And if it is, then we hope you're going to join in with Bob and I and the other people who are incensed. But remember, everything is in place. Everybody has a number now. The cameras are being installed every place in our country. You have a card, a MasterCard, Visa card. Basically, they keep a permanent record of everything you buy. Associated, they have dossiers on you. They have drones that can spy on you. They have even little drones of the size of a mosquito that can come into your house and listen to what's going on and even photograph what's going on. They have Project Echelon. They have their fusion centers. They have the GPS. Everything is in place for the dictatorship. And the fact that nobody's telling the American people about this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, and then, you know, to put the icing on the cake, of course, these are the very serious nuts and bolts that we're talking about here of just plain old-fashioned spying. It's way exceeds anything Adolf Hitler did, even with the spying. Of course, what he did just dragged people out and shot them. But what's going on right now, we are equal to what's going on in North Korea, for crying out loud, in terms of the spying on the people.
And basically, of course, the FBI has a system of informants. Check that out up on the internet. You'll find out they have tens of thousands of informants. Your best friend could be an informant. They've got their people infiltrated into conservative and liberal and Christian organizations. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and give back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you say. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. 8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Fletcher. We're simply talking about the surveillance society that we're entered into. Basically, they have fusion centers. Look them up on the internet. F-U-S-I-O-N centers. Fusion centers. And you'll find out that that's where they correlate your dossiers. Everybody has the dossiers, and they correlate them together at the fusion centers. And the fact you're not hearing about this through the regular media simply reflects the degree of control that they have over the media. But certainly check out Echelon, check out fusion centers, check out the things that Bob is talking about, and go right ahead, Bob.
You know, and the big deal, I guess, is that many of these, this whole variety of spy operations, which of course overlap like crazy, I'm sure, and God knows how much money's just been wasted with this stuff, but it doesn't make any difference because their money doesn't even, it's not worth anything, so I guess, and they can just print more, it's such a, that's being another whole separate problem, obviously. But going back, several years, 2006, some of the better news insider news agencies were coming out with little brief stories about these spy operations that were being created and built and finalized and expanded and what have you. Magazine called Wired magazine back 2012, beginning of 2012, they had a whole story about the largest spy center on the face of the earth being put together in Utah as one of the center points by the National Security Agency, and that they contained billions of telephone calls already in a short period of time that it was underway at that location. and that it estimated back in 2006 that the database contained over 1.9 trillion telephone call records way back in 2006. I can't even imagine where they're at this point in time. And the amazing thing with the technology that is now available and being utilized is that they can store on a computer chip the size of a 25-cent piece enough information that would have taken rooms full of a couple of floors of computers to accumulate and log in. And it can now, by the click of a computer mouse, they can bring these, hit two or three digits and bring up all of the people that any given person had ever contacted in the last 10, 15 years on telephone. I mean, this kind of stuff should really scare the pudding out of people. And then another outrageous part that I had talked about a little while back when they caught those two kids so quickly in the Boston race thing at the marathon, the bombing, and they zeroed in on so fast. And they really, it became so obvious within 30 minutes of the event when I was watching the news myself, and I saw that they were saying, oh, and there was a camera here and a camera there and a camera over here. And they've already picked up five different cameras, and now they this and that. And I said, son of a gun, that's what this whole thing is about, what we were watching there with them, with these kids blowing up these poor people in the race, the marathon there in Boston, is they were setting us up, setting up the American people to say, oh, boy, those cameras are fantastic. Go ahead, Uncle Sam and Big Brother, you just put them wherever you want to put them. And that's exactly what they're planning to do, and they're going to expand the locations of these cameras. Now, again, we get to technology. These cameras can be placed in now, and they can zoom in. They can do the facial recognition, which we hadn't talked about yet today, that all fits into this even. See, all of this stuff, not just gathering the information about your calls and electronic communication, and every time you go on Google, or anytime you do a Facebook to your grandmother about something or whatever it might be, the facial recognition, at this point in time, is so far past what the average guy could imagine in terms of them locating a specific person, taking three pictures of them, three frames of them, and putting it together and running it through their computer system, which they are. That's what they're developing with all this junk, a system where you can find, locate a guy in the middle of the football field at the stadium with 56,000 people watching a baseball game or something. They can zoom in on one person and run it, and in a couple of seconds find out that he's the grandson of some screwball in Saudi Arabia that used to blow people up for entertainment, and they'll have the ability to pick him up on the way walking out of the football stadium. You know,
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Bob Fletcher. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Fletcher. We're just talking about the facial recognition of the technology that they have, the way they have of identifying and tracking people. And this is all about the dictatorship that these people plan. These people want a dictatorship. They don't believe in individual freedom. They don't believe in the electoral process. Oh, they talk about democracy. That is simply to give you the idea that you're going to be able to change things, but they rig the election. Every one of the electronic voting machines in America can be rigged. Every single one of them. I'm not saying they are all rigged, but there were thousands of voting irregularities last November. And what did we hear about after the election? Why, we heard about General Petraeus and his mistress. Why were they tracking the telephone calls of the director of the CIA? Because they're watching everybody in the military. The one thing they fear is a military coup, that there might be enough patriots in the military to try to take America back. Take it back from this wicked little occult group that controls Sydney, working through the Trilateral Commission, that makes mockery out of our electoral process. I would simply point out, is you may wonder why President Obama was so insistent upon getting Susan Rice as his new National Security Council, new National Security Advisor to replace Thomas Donilon. Let me tell you why, because Thomas Donilon came from the Trilateral Commission. And so did Susan Rice. And basically, there's never been more than 87 members of the North American chapter. And a lot of those came from Canada and Mexico. There are not very many people there. It's just that they run the country and they control the wealth of the world. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But before we go on, Bob, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get to your website, and get the excellent DVDs that you put up.
Okay, be glad to. If you go on the computer and just go on, well, you can go on Google or just go directly, put BobFletcherInvestigations.com. That's BobFletcherInvestigations.com, and that will put you to our website and shows you some of the investigations that we have available on DVD that we've completed or involved directly with. Each one of these, by the way, where I was specifically involved with. I'm not doing those as a reporter per se, but actually being directly involved with the testimony or the investigation of all the different subjects of our different investigations. Or you can write us, drop us a note to Post Office Box 216 Bayview, Idaho 83803. And we'll be glad to send you a little list that, like a little catalog list that describes the DVDs that are available.
One more time, get your address out.
The address,
you always have to repeat it. People never get it the first time.
Sure. It's Bob Fletcher, Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. And we'll be glad to send you our, just say you need a list of our DVDs and investigations. We'll be glad to send you a little catalog. And that'll tell you a little bit about everything. And then you certainly can pick up whatever you're interested in.
Now, people say if things are as bad as Dr. Stan and Bob are saying, why have they already established a dictatorship? And ladies and gentlemen, they have established a dictatorship, but they don't want to clamp down because they do. The whole structure of society would quit working, and they need the financial and military power of the United States to consolidate their power over the rest of the world. We have 45,000 troops permanently stationed in Germany. Why do we have 45,000 troops permanently stationed in Germany? Nobody ever asks. Well, that's so we can control Germany. We've got 35,000 troops permanently stationed in Japan. Why do we have 35,000 troops permanently stationed there? Because we control that country, just like we control South Korea. We have 11,000 troops permanently stationed in England, a similar number in Italy. We have them all, 130 nations. Why are our troops stationed all over the world? Because we have an empire, and it's all stepping stones to this one world government, and nobody's going to tell you that. But this is the age-old plan. It's coming to fruition today. Go right ahead, Bob.
As a matter of fact, you speak about the troops in Germany and they never talk too much about. And, of course, we're not talking about what we now have, which are these contracted military troops, where if we're a little weak in one area or another with the standard military uniform personnel, we have contracted with these private armies, which is another thing that should just really scare the heck out of everybody. These private armies that have grown into the hundreds of thousands, and we, our government is contracting with them to fill the holes anytime they need. So they have two armies. You have the standard one that falls under all legitimate United States military regulations, the regular services. And then we have private armies big enough to overthrow many nations of the world just by themselves. And instead of calling them terrorists, because we are the ones financing them, well, then they are just assisting in our security needs. It's, again, something that you just have to really be paying attention to and really being concerned with the concept of private armies in the hundreds of thousands. Now, I found out when I was an interviewed witness back in the Iran-Contra inquiry, I found out that there was a thing called the forager supplies. And forager supplies is, in fact, a top-secret storage facility in Germany that had been top secret for 40 years, holding missiles and all sorts of extraordinary weapons. I'm going to say even the possibility of some nuclear, but I know at least every other weapon you could imagine in the thousands in Germany. And this was a deal that we had cut years and years earlier. And this Oliver North and these characters that were involved with drug operations and illegal arms in the Iran-Contra mess, they actually, when it came time to fulfill these what were actually illegal deals to send weapons into some of these, where these guys were holding our embassy people and all of that stuff, the first of the missiles on that under-the-table deal came out of this forager supply that had been top secret, and hardly anybody knew about it. And then all of a sudden I discovered and found out about that myself in the middle of the Iran-Contra inquiries. And this was something along with like the Rex 84 ready emergency exercise that was brought to the forefront in testimony when they were doing the Iran-Contra inquiries. And again, that was the original plan for the suspension of the Constitution under Reagan and Bush, and with Oliver North, again, who was this military hero to some people, and he was a drug smuggler to me. The bottom line was he was involved with creating that, and that's part of this huge secret underground facilities and things that are going on now all over the world. It's all part of the expansion of Rex 84, which was, in fact, what you would call the continuity of government. That's what the bad guys call it. They call it continuity of government, and it is hideouts underground all over the world for the elite when the time comes that they're going to need it. And for whatever that reason may be, we'll get into that, but not tonight. But the bottom line is there's 100-something underground facilities in the United States. Some of these things are literally as deep as 3,000 feet under the ground, which is mind-boggling. I was reading that number, by the way, comes from an actual contract for digging the underground tunnels and facilities, and one of them called for the potential to go as far as 3,000 feet below the surface. Mind-boggling stuff. 37 and 45 floors underground in some of these hideouts that we're talking about.
And let me tell you, I think it was last week when I was interviewing Peter Pry, and okay. I guess it was last Saturday. Peter Pry, of course, was worked in Washington, D.C. for 30 years. He was the executive director of two of the Congressional Commission reports that looked into the background of the danger of an EMP attack. And I was talking to him about the fact that Russia and China are fully prepared for an EMP attack, the only two countries in the world which certainly have hardened their electric system. So if there were to be an EMP attack or a solar flare, they would survive, and everybody else, the old society, would just crumble. And basically, Peter Pry actually volunteered during the conversation that basically in Russia they have a mountain, and they've hollowed out this mountain so that they can actually put in, and his term was hundreds of thousands of people.
That's true.
Hundreds of thousands of people in this, and basically in this mountain in Russia, and everything is there so they can be there and stay there until it's safe to come out. They have other facilities all across Russia, but the people, and they want to guard their people. Here in the United States, they're not planning on guarding the people. That is
true.
The frightening thing. Go ahead, Bob.
Right, and that is true. And all of this is, of course, part of the new film I'm working on, too. But the bottom line is, that's true, what you just said. The Russians came forward in 2000 and, I believe, 9 or 10, and they said that we are starting today to try to put in 5,000 underground facilities throughout the country of Russia in a variety of places within 2 to 3 years. Now, of course, that number is, you have to realize that includes going back into some of the old bomb shelters, expanding some of those and some other facilities, but it also involves some brand new ones. We've done the same thing. Chinese have done the same thing. Europe has done the same thing at a very high level. Each one of these nations have decided how many people they want to try to protect. The Russians have expanded beyond, at least in their intent, beyond the upper crust echelon, upper level of political types in Russia. They're going to have some available to less important people, let's put it that way. But the United States, that's not the case. Those few, that 100 or so facilities, those will be filled at the time of need. They will be filled up with the highest upper crust people, and they're not going to be any tickets for you and I to be able to get our hands on. I call them tickets to survive. There's not going to be any survival tickets for the average American.
And basically the question would be, how could Russia possibly afford that? I mean, certainly back in the 1990s, they were a bankrupt nation. Well, I'll tell you how they can afford it. Russia today is the largest producer of natural gas and of oil in the entire world. Russia is the largest producer of natural gas and oil in the world. Well, how could that be? Well, very simply, we actually sent our companies over there to drill the wells for them. And we drilled the wells, and they put them down very, very deep, down in the substratosphere, going down maybe 3 or 4 miles or more in fracking. And actually, we made them the largest producer of oil and natural gas, largely with money from American funds of the East Asia Development Bank and all. You go to my website, and we have the names of all of these American organizations that actually provided the money for the Soviets. The fact that the average American has never heard this. So they're preparing to preserve the Russian people. But here in the United States, and we know that these facilities are there, and the Denver Airport, there's one here in Northern California that I know of, and certainly Colorado Springs, and well, Bob, one of these days you'll finish that DVD and we'll have it available. But they're all across America, but only for the elite. They really think there are too many people in the world, and they don't intend that the majority of the people will be surviving this.
It's really amazing. In the middle of doing this DVD, the variety of research and all involved, that when I came across that it was in the Bible, it was literally in the Bible where it said, I guess it's in Revelation 16 or 17. I don't recall off the top of my head, but it basically it says that when the time comes, that the upper crust, the wealthiest, it says the kings and the queens and the highest of people of the society will go into holes burrowed into the mountainside and hide out in there, and they will drive away those people that are trying to get in with them to get a hold of their foodstuffs and things of that sort. And literally in a biblical quote, and I said, son of a gun, talk about it. And I had just forgotten about that. I had missed it. I don't pretend to be a Bible instructor for sure, but I was really set back because it literally is in the Bible, and it's exactly described what's taking place, and that is the wealthiest people are stealing all the taxpayers' funds and have for many years, and they've been drilling these holes into the side of the granite mountain so they can hide away when the time comes, and the average American is going to be left on the other side of the door, banging on it, trying to get inside for the food. And it's right in Revelation. I thought that was about as interesting as it could get. And, you know, and people also say, and it's a logical question. You know, if people, God bless us all, we become so naive Americans over the period of 200 years, believing in the honesty of government and all. But people always say, well, if there was this big of a deal going on with multi-billions of dollars being put into hideouts under the ground and all of this, how can they keep that secret? Well, they always say, well, they could not keep that secret. But we all seem to forget that for a period of 5.5 to 6 years, we had thousands of people working every day on the atomic bomb in the early 40s.
The Manhattan Project.
The Manhattan Project. And there was people all over the United States working and doing their little part, A, B, C, and D. And nobody ever found out about it at all until it was put together. And then, boom, we dropped it in Japan. And it's like, surprise, folks, this is what's been going on. And nobody knew about it.
Because Jesse Ventura has been talking about these underground facilities, and you can get hold of some of Jesse's films, or at least one of them I remember. They actually got sort of the entrance to one of these. They didn't give you a lot of information, but at least they referred to the fact that this is not imaginary. Well, ladies and gentlemen, certainly when one of the key people in Washington, D.C., Peter Pry, told me about this mountain in Russia, and then, of course, knowing what's going on here. And suddenly a friend of ours who was an editor of a newspaper in Northern California had found this one up in Santa Rosa, accessible only by helicopter. Well, our telephone number, well, we're out of time. Our guest has been Bob Fletcher. Fascinating as always. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Bob. And he certainly is on the front lines of this battle, has a lot of great information. Now, basically, what sort of an incident are we talking about? I can't tell you for certain, but I will tell you one of the major themes is the threat of an EMP attack. One nuclear weapon detonated suddenly 300 miles over Omaha, Nebraska, would take out our entire electronic grid and plunge America into a third world nation instantaneously. Well, this is not imaginary. Now, the same thing could happen if there was to be a major solar flare and there was to strike Earth. And basically, you need to get our 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack. That's the 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, or the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack, or the Congressional Commission report on the threat, that's 2004, on the threat of an EMP attack, or the book we carry by Michael Maloof, who was 30 years in the Defense Department, is frantically trying to get the information out. His book is A Nation Forsaken, A Nation Forsaken. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But just get one of them and start in getting the information. And then, of course, once you are aware of what's going on, You can go up. You can research this on the internet. There's a great deal of information up there. But of course, they do not focus our attention on it. There's a coordinated effort on the part of the people who run the world to keep you from hearing about it. Now, basically, we do have an excellent article appeared on May 21st in the Wall Street Journal, one article that appeared May 22nd in the Washington Post. If you ask for copies, we'll be glad to send it to you. But you need to get this information, and you need to get the information out and help us disseminate it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, we do hope, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll get a copy because it will help you to explain to others what's really going on today. Because so much of what's going on doesn't make sense unless you understand there really is a supernatural force out there. You need to get, of course, the talk given by Constance Cumby. We have a DVD. We have a 4-CD set by Constance Cumby, certainly on the going into the Aquarian Conspiracy, what's called the Aquarian Conspiracy. Four interviews with Constance, where she does an excellent job pulling all the loose ends together. And it was Constance that really introduced me to this whole different world. And when you understand that there is a different world out there, now, I want to say one thing. There is a supernatural element, but you do not want to ever try to tap into this. This is not for you, certainly. The only supernatural thing you want to have is a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is supernatural power there, but it's not of yourself. But you do want to totally avoid. Why, of course, the people who think don't want to convince you that you have power, you have no power at all, other than demonic power and the demonic forces, not imaginary, but very real in the world today. So basically, the book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, the book, and then the used copies, admittedly. And then, of course, the DVD by Constance Cumby. And then, of course, the 4-CD set, The Aquarian Conspiracy. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Again, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have well over 60,000 copies out, probably closer to 100,000. We've lost track. But this has had a profound impact on people's lives all across America. So we simply just ask you to pray for America and to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, hopefully they're going to be the views of our good friend William Grigg, who is former senior editor of the New American Magazine, who is a temporary editor of the Republic magazine, who actually writes prolifically. You can find his articles up on the web. Of course, he writes a regular article every month for Radio Liberty. He does our monthly newsletter. But right now, let's go to William Grigg. Hi, William. How are we doing?
Dr. Stan, I'm a little bit under the weather, but not otherwise unscathed. It's always a real pleasure and a blessing to be with you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we always appreciate having you with us. And so what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Whatever we talk about, of course, is going to be monitored and cataloged and filed away by our dear friends at the National Security Agency.
But William, you know they've been doing that for years. Basically,
exactly.
when President Bush says, well, the FBI and the NSA aren't listening to your phone calls, he knows very well that because the NSA is working with MI6, which monitors all of our phone calls, so the president can go on television and with a straight face can say, the NSA isn't listening to your phone calls. No, the NSA is working with MI6 and listens to them and gets all the information from MI6. They don't listen. It's all a scam, ladies and gentlemen. This is criminal involvement, and the president should be impeached just on the basis of that. He knows very well when he says, and he's very particular, you notice what he said, the FBI and the NSA aren't listening to your telephone calls. No, they're not. MI6 is. Go right ahead.
And as you say, Dr. Stan, this has been going on for decades. There's nothing new here except, of course, for the extent of the program and the sophistication of the technology. And I suppose the brazenness of the people who are operating this program, because we're living in an age here of the panopticon. Everything we do is kept under the scrutiny of those who are supposed to be our servants, but actually treat us as if we were their possession. And the reason they're doing this, Mr. Obama mentioned this morning, and one of his spoon-fed sound bites, is that they're after what's called the metadata, which have to do with connections between and among people who are making telephone calls or conducting other electronic communication, and tracking them using geotracking to identify where they are and the spheres in which they travel. We're supposed to take comfort from this because supposedly this means that the people, whatever three-letter agency might employ them, who are running the system are not listening to the content of what we're saying. Indeed, there's a really interesting thing going on right now on Twitter, this short message style, brief format, social network site. There's a hashtag that, of course, will be categorized things in Twitter's through the hashtag. There's a hashtag, nothing to hide. And the person running that Twitter feed is cataloging all the comments that he or she possibly can find of people using that expression, nothing to hide, as in, I understand that the government's monitoring everything I'm doing, but since I have nothing to hide, I don't mind. Only people who are up to no good would mind. That, of course, is the mindset of the East German population under the Stasi. The assumption here is that whatever the government is doing must be eminently practical and obviously for our good. Thus, only people who have some kind of ulterior motives that are improper would mind if their lives are being made transparent, which, of course, is an abhorrent thing to say if you understand how free people are supposed to behave in terms of taking ownership of their own lives.
But I think people have to understand there really are people who want a dictatorship. These are the same people who financed Adolf Hitler. In fact, Prescott Bush was indicted in 1942 for his help and aid to the Nazis. Nobody ever talks about that.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. We raise our voices.
through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the old...
Bye, Daddy.
Bye, Daddy. Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America, my home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan, I guess, William Craig, and William, go right ahead.
When we're talking about this all-encompassing program of surveillance, it's important to keep in mind a couple of very important concepts that have been teased over the last several years that are not being described or at least associated with in the context of this discussion about PRISM and the Verizon deal with the NSA and so forth. When Mr. Obama was talking about the idea that these people are not listening to the content of your phone calls, that's not something from which we should extract any measure of solace, because what they're doing is they're compiling information for the disposition matrix. Of course, that's a term of art, that's a bureaucratic expression. This is something that was unveiled a little more than a year ago in discussion of the drone program and over the question of what Mr. Brennan would be doing. Mr. Brennan, of course, was the advisor, the chief advisor to Barack Obama regarding the drone strikes. He was the counterterrorism advisor who had access to and was a member of the panel that composed the kill list. And that kill list, as we've talked about before, contained the names of a number of U.S. citizens, most prominently on Mar-a-Lago. But the disposition matrix is the model that they're using now for the counterterrorism program that would be applied both domestically and overseas into the indefinite future. And in the disposition matrix, they have to have access to so-called metadata, meaning connections between people, frequency of communications among those people, the spheres of influence in which they travel, and the geolocation data, which give you an idea of where they're going to be and when they're going to be and how frequently. This is what is used in compiling information that goes into the program of what is called pattern of life analysis on the part of those who are targeting drone strikes overseas in Afghanistan, Yemen, Pakistan, and elsewhere. Almost all the drone strikes are carried on the base, out on this base. They don't involve specifically identified people who are accused of particular crimes or particular acts of insurgency. Instead, these are signature strikes. The signature strike occurs because the data analysis indicates that the target of that strike has some connection with somebody who is perhaps connected to somebody else who might have at one point said something unfavorable about the U.S. military occupation of Afghanistan, if you're talking about Afghanistan, or might have been part of a partisan group fighting against U.S. and allied troops in Afghanistan. Or in the case of Pakistan, somebody is distantly connected to a person we believe to be associated with Al-Qaeda, which, as you point out, Dr. Stan, is a minuscule organization with no institutional reach. Signature strikes are the basis on which the CIA has carried out most of its drone killing operations. And that's based on pattern of life analysis, which is the same system that would be used to create this disposition matrix. And it is toward that end that all this data are being compiled. All these data are being compiled by the NSA and by other three-letter agencies. So we really have no reason to take comfort if Mr. Obama was telling the truth when he claimed that they're not listening to our telephone conversations, not monitoring what we say or write online. And Incidentally, it's eminently untrue to say that they're not monitoring what we say or what we write online, because the PRISM system, which was also revealed yesterday by somebody who's described as a whistleblower, would include real-time monitoring, not only of conversations in social media sites, which, of course, is something you can do simply by contacting Facebook or Twitter or any of these other organizations demanding access to the back end of their systems. But it would also involve literal real-time analysis of search requests that are being made by a given user. So they can track down to the keystroke what people do in terms of their online activity. And this is something that they're doing, once again, in order to compile the data necessary to conduct this pattern of life analysis in order to decide which of us would meet some broad algorithmic profile of somebody who would be considered a potential domestic terrorist. And that's the function of this monstrous new facility being built in, I believe it's Bluffdale, Utah, by the NSA. It's so secretive in terms of its form and function that you can't come within several miles of it without being chased away by the police. They will take photographs, they will let you overfly the territory. It's supposed to be built in such a way that all of its utilities are dedicated. The electricity and water supply and sewage and all this would be something to take care of by themselves, but there are no necessary connections to any of the power grid or any of the other utilities there. It's supposed to be completely autonomous, and it would be the storage area by way of the computer mainframes that would be established there for these, I believe, petabyte? I can't remember. I can't even remember the prefix now. To describe the volume of information that's going to be stored there at the NSA's facility in Utah.
Well, it's in the trillions, trillions of bytes.
Exactly.
And basically, of course, but certainly there, in addition to all of this interrelationship and this profiling of people, they actually do listen to the conversations. They've been doing that through Echelon for close to 30 years. And this is certainly they monitor, they record the conversations, the emails and the faxes, and then they're gone over by computers that are able to pick out certain keywords. And so basically, of course, they're analyzing us, they're cataloging us in many, many ways. But what they want is dossiers on every person in America, and they really have them. They keep them in places called fusion centers, F-U-S-I-O-N. And fortunately, we have the Internet, at least for now, and you can go up on the Internet and look up fusion centers. You'll find out this is where they correlate all of your dossiers. You don't have just one dossier. You've got three or four dossiers, the records that they're keeping on you and every member of your family. Go right ahead with it.
That's the whole point of this exercise, of course, is to have detailed and voluminous information that can be used either for the purpose of tracking somebody by association, that's the pattern of life analysis, or where necessary and appropriate, and leverage in order to extract from that person something of interest and use to the people who are running these three-letter agencies. One of the cases that we've referred to in recent weeks, Dr. Stan, of course, is that of Amin al-Awlaki, who is the brother of Anwar al-Awlaki. And Amin al-Awlaki, who lives and works overseas, he's a Canadian citizen rather than a U.S. citizen, I believe Anwar al-Awlaki was in Vienna at an oil industry conference where he was approached by somebody working for a three-letter agency, the first letter of which is most likely C. And he had been contacted by telephone by this person who claimed to be a friend of the family. And he was approached by this CIA operative and told that his brother, Anwar, was the subject of what we would have to call a death warrant, and that he was being tracked and pursued by a special operations being monitored by the CIA, and that if the federal government didn't capture him, they would have to kill him. And so what he did was he pitched this guy, this brother, on the idea of obtaining a $5 million reward in order to turn in his brother to the CIA, knowing that these people were perfectly willing to kill him. And Anwar al-Awlaki's brother, to his considerable credit, gave the CIA officer a rather anatomically explicit suggestion as to where he could dispose of that proffer. But that's the sort of thing that we're likely to see more frequently here, would be an appeal to a vulnerability, and then perhaps an appeal to simple greed. One of the things that I've written about lately is the case of a fellow from Eritrea who is a naturalized U.S. citizen living in Portland. His name is Jonas Fikre, I believe is how it's pronounced. He traveled overseas in 2010. He went to Sudan, which is very close to Eritrea. That's where he's from. He was going to get involved in the cell phone business. He didn't realize when he went to Sudan that there apparently is some kind of an administrative prohibition on doing business in Sudan because it's considered to be a terrorist sponsoring state. So he, in the interest of crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, went to the U.S. consulate and explained to one of the people working there what he intended to do. And he outlined the business that he wanted to be into, and he was given the suggestion that he should go and contact authorities in Sudan and get a business license in order to set up a cell phone company. The following day, he received a phone call from an individual who identified himself as a representative of the embassy who was there supposedly for the purpose of helping U.S. businessmen get involved in setting up their foreign businesses in Sudan. And he said that there was going to be a meeting at the U.S. embassy that would be a luncheon, and a number of U.S. foreign businessmen would receive a safety briefing. So Mr. Fikre showed up, and this individual who had invited him to this supposed function was named David Nordeluz, and he was in the company of another man named Jason Dundas. And rather than taking him to the banquet room, they took him to a private room, locked the door behind him, and introduced themselves as FBI agents. And what they said is that they needed to interrogate him about what was going on in his mosque back in Portland, Oregon, which was riddled with informants, provocateurs, and under constant surveillance by the FBI. And of course, post 9/11, everybody assumes that every mosque in the country is an incubator for terrorism. There are a few mosques, perhaps, that meet that description. Eminently not the case of the mosque in Portland. But in spite of that, there have been five people who have attended that mosque who have been the subject of no-fly orders. And while he was locked up in this room in Sudan, Mr. Fikre was told that if he didn't cooperate with the FBI, his name would be placed on the no-fly list and he simply wouldn't be permitted to return home. And that's sort of the obverse of what we're talking about here. It's not merely that they monitor us all the time, but they are finding ways of imposing these virtual Berlin Wall-style impediments on freedom of movement if we don't cooperate when we're told that we have to become informants or provocateurs or otherwise do the bidding of people who work for these three-letter agencies.
I may read rather, really, this has nothing to do with freedom. It has everything to do with certainly control. Until people understand, this whole world terrorist movement has been funded by the CIA for years. Why? Because they wanted an enemy to justify more control.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Through the night with a light from
I did. Don't be late.
No. Wipe with
son. Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hi, Mom. Hello, darling.
New song?
Brand new, first time in the air. Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Bang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, William Greig, and he's simply telling us about this tragic gentleman over there. I guess he was in Somalia, and he was trying to get a permit to actually be able to sell cell phones over there. And the FBI came, locked him in a room, told him if he didn't cooperate with them, they'd put him on a no-fly list, and he'd never be able to get back home. Basically, they're simply forcing people, and then this man was not a terrorist, and the people in his mosque were not terrorists. But go right ahead, William.
There was one young man who was accused of plotting a terrorist attack. His name was Muhammad Osman Muhammad, who attended that mosque. It's called Ostabair in Portland, Oregon. He attended it once or twice, and as a 17 or 18-year-old man, he started to express concerns, views that worried his father. So his father, acting out of misplaced confidence in the integrity of our public institutions, contacted the FBI and expressed concerns about his son. Obviously, there's some alienation between father and son. I don't think that approaching the FBI is the best way to deal with the son. You think is going off the rails morally or philosophically, but that's what he did. So rather than finding some way of scaring this young man straight, the FBI treated him as a recruit. They bracketed him with a couple of terrorist facilitators from their Homeland Security theater troupe, and they started to play to his resentments, which are entirely understandable and morally sound, about U.S. foreign policy, about aggressive warfare being waged in the Muslim world, about the disruption, subversion, violence being propagated by the U.S. government overseas. It's interesting how whenever they try to create a terrorist, the FBI will not talk in open and broad terms about the iniquity of infidels. They won't talk about waging jihad against women who impudently refuse to wear burqas. They talk about the crimes being committed by the government the FBI works for. That's the selling point, because they know that there are a lot of people who resent it. Quite frankly, people are entitled to it. So they turned this guy, this kid, this young man, 18, 19 years old at the time, into a terrorist apprentice. And then they put together a variation on their standard plot where he was going to push the detonator on what he was told was a bomb that would blow up the plaza where the Christmas tree lighting ceremony was to take place. I believe it was 2010. He was just recently sentenced to a lengthy prison term after being found guilty of being involved in a plot that was entirely created by the FBI. Of course, you don't have any moral justification for going through with what you believe is a plot to bomb innocent people. That's something that, of course, is wrong at all times in all circumstances. The thing is, however, that was the FBI who manipulated him in a no-fly list, so he couldn't fly to Alaska to work for a commercial fishing company. That's the interesting juncture in this story. In the case of this Mohammed Osman Mohammed, this young man, Mr. Mohammed, was going to go to Alaska to get honest work and make money. And rather than allowing him to do this, which of course would have meant he wasn't going to be involved in jihad, they cut off his avenue of travel that would have put him on a different path and most likely would have led him away from terrorism, because he would have found that there's something much more worthwhile to be doing with his young life, which is making money and preparing for a family and things of that nature. So they deliberately cut him off. That's how this virtual Berlin Wall operates. They cut him off from going to Alaska to work for the summer. Just as with Jonas Firka, that when he was in Sudan, they imposed the no-fly list so he couldn't come home so they could turn him into an informant. An informant against whom? Well, he was pitched on the idea that he would be an informant within his mosque in order to find other people like Mohammed Osman Mohammed. Most likely he was going to be used to recruit other people as patsies for the purpose of Homeland Security Theater. Mr. Birger didn't go for this after being threatened and after his wife being threatened by one of the FBI agents. He simply didn't show up the next day, and he, not being able to return home, went to the United Arab Emirates and started another effort to begin a business there. He was abducted by the Emirates secret police and put in a dungeon and tortured for 106 days. And as he was being beaten severely on his head, back, legs, feet with plastic pipes, as he was put in stress positions, when he was threatened by strangulation with a flexible pipe, he was consistently being interrogated about why he wasn't cooperating with the FBI. And the name Mohammed Osman Mohammed came up. It's my belief that what they wanted to do at this point was not only to punish him for not cooperating with the FBI, I think they wanted him to provide some kind of supplemental testimony against this patsy in the odd event that the case against him in federal court fell apart. In other words, I think they were torturing him into perjuring himself in order to convict somebody who had been lured into one of these FBI-orchestrated Homeland Security theater plots.
But you know, William, there's no justification for torture. There's no justification for it at all. And yet, well, everybody knows that we have people kidnapped and tortured. And where is the outcry from our religious leaders? Why aren't our religious leaders saying torture is wrong? And I have yet to hear any minister, maybe there are a few of them who have, but I've yet to hear any minister say we should not be torturing people.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America. And beside her, and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with gold.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America.
Right, son.
Stan, I guess, is William Grigg. And what happened to this gentleman who was tortured for over 100 days because he wouldn't cooperate with the FBI? What happened to this gentleman?
He was never permitted to come home. His family, working through an attorney in Portland, eventually found that he had been taken into custody by the secret police of the United Arab Emirates. Charming people, by the way, over in the UAE. And working through the consulate, they arranged to have an official visit him, and she had noticed that within just a few weeks, actually within, I think, 2 weeks or thereabouts, he had dropped 30 pounds. They were starving him to death. And she said that he looked haggard and anxious, but not particularly bad, because he had been told in no uncertain terms that if he had told her how he was being treated, they were going to kill him. So he had been abused for over 2 weeks. The consulate official asked why he was being held, and the secret police told her that there was probably nothing that would justify holding him much longer, that he would be released the following day. He was held another 80 days after that. And the thing that I find most unsettling here is that after he was released, his name was still in the no-fly registry, which meant that he was effectively exiled from the United States. So he was forced to go to Sweden, where he took up residence with a relative who lives in that country. Sweden, of course, is a socialist nation. We're seeing that just over the last couple of weeks, some of the purlieus in Stockholm, there's an ongoing riot on the part of, I hate to use the word, but it's appropriate, unassimilated immigrants from Northern Africa and elsewhere who were part of a welfare system that cultivates that kind of politically useful resentment. But that's not why Mr. Fierker went to Sweden. He went to Sweden because he couldn't come back to the United States because he refused to cooperate with the FBI. And he's filed a lawsuit against the federal government, like most lawsuits of this kind, is most likely going to be settled with that resolution. But they made their point. The thing about the security organs that operate on behalf of Washington is that their points will be made. Whether there is any kind of compensation to the victim here, they've not, the people responsible for his torture have remained unpunished. Now, as I mentioned, he's one of five men at this mosque who've been placed on the no-fly list. They can't find out why they were placed there. They can't get their names removed because once your name is on that list, it's there forever. Another man whose name was on that list was born in Libya. He's a U.S. citizen, naturalized citizen from Libya by the name of Jamal Tarhouni. And in January 2002, as the homeland that gave him birth was convulsed with a CIA-abetted insurrection against an admittedly horrible dictator who had been an ally of Washington, Muammar Gaddafi. Mr. Tarhouni was approached by a Christian charity called Teams International to go to Libya as part of a relief mission to provide food and medical care for people who had been driven out of their homes, people who had been wounded, people who had been abused. So he was to go along to provide translation services and also to act as a guide for the Christian charitable missionaries. So at his own expense and at some considerable risk, he went to Libya as part of this Christian humanitarian mission. Bear in mind, this man's a Muslim. But he was going there to provide support for Christian charitable outreach. On his way home, he was detained in Tunisia and then taken into the temporary custody of an FBI special agent by the name of Brian Zinn. Last name is spelled Z-I-N-N. What he was told is that he would have to take a polygraph test in order to be released. And a female FBI official showed up with some kind of a portable digital device with an electronic release form and asked for him to sign it. Mr. Tarhuni, to his credit, read the form and then said, I can't sign this because it amounts to a waiver of several of my constitutionally protected rights. He got on the phone with the same attorney in Portland and ran this by his attorney, and his attorney said, you'd have to be insane to sign that. And so Mr. Tarhuni said, I'm not going to sign this. I'm not going to take a polygraph test because, first of all, polygraph tests are not admissible in court. Secondly, this waiver you're requiring that I sign would amount to a repudiation of my rights under the Constitution. So he was punished by being imprisoned for free amnesia. That is to say, he was allowed free reign of amnesia, but he was not allowed to get on a plane to go back to the United States. So finally, his attorney, Thomas Nelson, filed an injunction with a federal judge that allowed him to fly home by way of Paris and Amsterdam. But this is, once again, typical of what's going on as the FBI lives down to its pedigree as a secret police organization, which is older than the Soviet KGB, which since 1994 has been a full partner with the remnant KGB, which is called the FSB now in Russia, the Federal Security Service, but it's the same organization. And as an adjunct of the national security state now, the FBI is really in the business not only of fomenting and orchestrating terrorist plots, seeing operations that involve bloodshed, and imprisoning people and trying to blackmail them or torture them by proxy into cooperating. It's pretty clear the FBI now is getting involved in assassination, extrajudicial killing. And that is the case, I believe, with this young man, Ibrahim Todashev, who is a Chechen-born acquaintance of the alleged Boston Marathon bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Tamerlan Tsarnaev, of course, was killed in circumstances that are very pungent, and his brother was injured in what we were told was a shootout, which is nothing of the sort. It was most likely an attempted execution as well. And we're told that Dokar, his brother, has confessed to all manner of remarkable things, in spite of the fact that he had no capacity for speech, and it would make no sense for him to scribble down a lengthy, detailed confession while he's hiding in a boat in the backyard of some Boston resident's home. They're told all kinds of things that make no sense. Well, Mr. Ibrahim Todashev was a mixed martial arts enthusiast. He was an amateur fighter, as was Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Tsarnaev was a boxer. His brother was a wrestler. And Mr. Todashev, like many people from that part of the world, was interested in grappling arts as well as striking arts. So he went into mixed martial arts. Don't know if he was particularly accomplished in that field, but the fact is he was somebody who enjoyed that kind of physical culture. And he came briefly into contact with Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Now, this gives me an opportunity to step back again and talk about this so-called pattern of life analysis. This idea is that you connect people to each other by acquaintance or by communication. We don't know the extent to which these two young men knew each other. We knew they were both Chechens. We knew that they shared an enthusiasm for mixed martial arts. We know nothing else about them. But the fact that they were connected meant that Mr. Todashev was presumptively an enemy combatant because of the status of Mr. Tsarnaev, who most likely was an asset of the CIA at some point. I understand that he and his brother were involved in the Jamestown Foundation project, and their uncle was married at one point to Graham Fuller's daughter, Graham Fuller being a very major player in the Trans-Caucasian energy shenanigans that the CIA is involved in.
So now, let me just repeat that for our listeners. These two brothers that have been accused of the Boston bombing, their uncle was a CIA, was married to the daughter of one of the chief CIA people, and he's stayed with her for a long period of time. And then, of course, this uncle went over to Chechnya and tried to start a revolution over there and didn't get very far, but everybody has always considered he was a CIA asset. The question is, were these brothers in any way involved in this? Certainly one of the older one who was killed had gone over to Chechnya and tried to stir up a trouble over there. He was so radical, nobody would listen to him. And so basically, there's something very strange about this whole story. We have not been told the whole truth.
We've not been told the whole truth, we've not been told most of the germane truth. The thing is, these two boys had some connection through the Jonestown, or the, forgive me, the Jamestown Foundation, not the Jonestown Foundation, Jamestown Foundation, with what was going on in Chechnya. Most likely they were simply there for a couple of meetings, or they had been exposed, somebody had been in a couple of meetings. The fact that their uncle was somebody who's a major player with the Jamestown Foundation is significant, because that's pretty much a front for the CIA. But they were on the FBI's radar, they were on the CIA's radar, the FSB had been tracking them. So these are people who were a known quantity. And yet, despite all of this accumulation of data, we still had the Boston Marathon bombing. We don't know anything about Ibrahim Todashev apart from the fact that he knew these guys. So the FBI, with the help of some Boston State, or forgive me, Massachusetts State troopers, and some Orlando police officers, tracked down Mr. Todashev in Orlando, Florida, and spent several days interrogating him. And then, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago tonight, they went back to his home at night. That, by the way, is something Social Media points out, is a familiar time-honored tactic of security organs like the KGB. They want to interrogate you at night when your defenses are down and you feel most vulnerable. And supposedly they interrogated him for 5 hours, coaxing from him somehow a confession that he had been involved in an unsolved triple murder in which the Tsarnaev brothers are suspects. And that, apropos of nothing, he suddenly erupted in a fit of irrational violence, grabbing a knife and attacking and brutally cutting the FBI interrogator. That was the first story we were told, at which point he was shot dead as a matter of self-defense. Nobody who retailed that story stopped to ask why one man armed with a knife would attack at least 6 or 8 or 10 or a dozen heavily armed people. That makes no sense. That story was discarded, and then we were told that what happened is that he actually threw over a table, he upended a table, and then attacked the FBI agent. That led to his fatal shooting. And then somewhere between those two extremes, we heard a third story that he grabbed an implement that looked like a metal rod, perhaps a piece of furniture or something that had been used decoratively, and he was attacking this FBI agent with this metal rod or metal pole so severely that the FBI agent required hospitalization. It was at that point that one of the intrepid members of the security organ shot Mr. Todashev dead. The problem is none of this makes sense, and none of this has been clarified. The only physical evidence we've seen are photographs from the postmortem, which show very clearly that Mr. Todashev had a gunshot wound to the back of his head, not far from the spot preferred by KGB executioners back in the 1930s.
Well, wait a minute. If he's charging the FBI agent, how would he end up with a shot
exactly.
in the back of his head?
That makes no sense at all. If you're talking about a defensive situation where an armed man is approaching you with a knife or with a club or some other implement of mayhem, he's not going to end up with a gunshot wound in the upper left-hand quadrant of the back of his head. The preferred spot for the coup de grace when the KGB was feeding political dissidents the fabled Lubyanka breakfast, which is a cigarette and a bullet to the back of the head, was in the cerebellum. This is a little bit higher on the skull than that. The point is, it's on the back of his head. That makes no sense at all unless you understand that this was an execution. This was, by any rational standard, on the basis of the available evidence, pretty clearly an extrajudicial assassination. Not much different in terms of outcome from what we've seen in signature strikes that were carried out overseas and are carried out today overseas by the CIA in Pakistan and Yemen and Somalia and Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, before the drones started to fill the skies, of course, there are drones flying the skies over Afghanistan. There were special operations teams put together that would go to village from village to village at night, almost always at night, and then carry out targeted assassinations of people who were considered to be insurgents or had some connection to insurgents. In this case, Mr. Todashev had a connection to one of the alleged Boston bombers. My belief is that they were not trying to get him to confess to a crime. They were not trying to find out what he knew that could help them about a larger plot. I think they were shutting up somebody who might have known something the public couldn't know in terms of prior knowledge, in terms of coordination, in terms of the connection between the Tsarnaev brothers, their uncle, and the CIA. They were acting as plumbers. They were stopping up a leak by shooting this guy in the back of the head. But this was a signature strike. It was carried out by a government-issued sidearm rather than by a Hellfire missile or some other missile fired by a Predator or Reaper drone, but it followed the same logic. Once again, let me go back and talk about why metadata is so important, this connection. They want to be able to connect us, not to find out what we're doing, but to find out what they can do to us and they can do with us. Because every connection that they can find is something that they would consider as exploitable, an exploitable link. And so they want to create a society in which we will all be keeping each other under surveillance. And I had talked a little bit earlier about this Twitter feed called Nothing to Hide, hashtag Nothing to Hide. It is really an amazing chronicle of people who have an East German mentality about surveillance. Let me read a couple of representative samples here. These are things that were said in all sincerity by the subscribers to Twitter. Alexis John Garner, I say it's okay to tap our phones if you are complaining you have something to hide. Tom Clark, in a message to Rachel Maddow, nothing to hide. Have some faith in the system. OMG, you're starting to sound like the NRA fanatics who fear the loss of their AK-47. Here's another one, nothing to hide. Keep America safe. That's life. Deal with it. It's the price we pay for some freedom.
Well, before we go on with him, we're getting towards the end of the program. I wanted to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get to your essays, how they can get to your PayPal button.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. My webpage is called Pro Libertate, and if you go to freedominourtime.blogspot.com, that'll take you there directly. Freedom in Our Time is spelled as one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, there's a PayPal button at the bottom of every essay, and I really do appreciate everything that people have done to support me and my family. This is my chief means of supporting my family right now. It's been that way for a couple of years, and I'm deeply appreciative to you, Dr. Stan, and to your listeners who've been so generous. I also publish quite frequently at lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. I also have a radio program every Sunday evening at libertyroundtable.com, libertyroundtable.com. It's called Freedom Zealot Radio. It's on from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Mountain Time, which would be 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Pacific. And once again, it's at libertyroundtable.com. You can listen live. I believe the archives are going to go up very soon. I also want to point out that I'm involved in the Next News Network. I'm helping to write a lot of their copies, a lot of their copy for broadcast, and there's a new documentary that will be available soon through Next News Network called Crosshairs, and it's about the IRS scandal, the targeting of conservative Tea Party groups. And what's really going on behind the scenes with this, it's not well understood what the real import of this is, what they're really up to and how this came about. NextNewsNetwork.com is the address for the Next News Network, and look for Crosshairs. It should be available for download and for DVD purchase very soon. It's going to be about a 45-minute-long documentary.
Well, of course, our guest has been William Grigg, and certainly one of the most insightful people that we know. We're very, very pleased to have him writing our monthly Radio Liberty newsletter. So when you subscribe to Radio Liberty, why, of course, you'll get his regular communications. But William's on the front lines of this battle, as we are. And we hope that many of you out there will decide you're going to join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. You go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, once again, I want to tell you how much it means to me that you give me this opportunity every week, how deeply grateful I am for what you've done on behalf of liberty and the truth, and for the material support that you provided. So many of your listeners have offered to me and my family. These are times in which it's wonderful to know that there are people who are at least paying attention, and particularly those who are involved in this fight or willing to help those of us who are trying to inform the public about many things that most people don't want to hear, and if they hear, they're not willing to pay attention to. And I just find myself so struck by the messages that are posted here, that are gathered here, rather, at this Twitter feed called Nothing to Hide. These are people who have exactly the same mindset that you would have found in Germany. Once again, here are just a couple of representative examples. You have no reason to hide anything unless you're guilty of something. Really, according to Harvey Silverglate, who should know, he's a constitutional lawyer, Every day, each of us commits three acts that harm nobody and that aren't real crimes, but could be construed as felonies by a federal prosecutor who's sufficiently ambitious. We have all kinds of things that we have to hide, not because they're wrong, but because the people who are wanting to use them against us have no scruples.
But I think that what you have to do with them is point out to these people, say, look, what crime did the Jewish people
yes.
commit that justified what happened to them? What crime did they, what the Christians, there were about 12 million Christians who were actually slaughtered right along with the Jews. We never talk about them. What crimes did they commit? And of course, they committed no crimes. It was because they were Christians. We have to get people to think. We have to,
yeah.
You and I, with the knowledge and background, have to start to get people to begin to use their minds. And once they do, hopefully they will change their position to go right ahead.
That's exactly right. The scandal isn't that we would have something to hide. The scandal is that the government would consider itself entitled to find out what we're doing because it's none of their business. They don't own us. They don't manage us. They have no proprietary claim upon us. It's not that we necessarily have something to hide. It's just that we're not required to share with strangers what we do with our own lives. But the idea is that we don't own our lives. Ultimately, of course, we don't. The Creator owns our lives, but he's given us an exclusive lease on them during our time in mortality. And that's something that the collectivist drones here who are saying if you're not doing something, you have nothing to worry about. They don't understand that. They repudiated their temporal ownership over their own lives, and they want the rest of us to be part of that bargain. Well, I'm not buying it, neither is my household.
Well, we'll do the best we can as long as God gives us the wherewithal to do it. William, thank you so very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week at the same time.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply saying that a lot of people are writing in on Facebook and elsewhere saying, look, if you've got nothing to hide, why should you be concerned because the government is watching what you're doing? And the answer to that is very, very simple. Well, tell us, what crime did the average Jewish person commit that justified the government going ahead and killing them? And why did they kill the 12 million Christians? There were 12 million Christians that were actually slaughtered along with the 6 million Jews. We never talk about them. But what crimes did they commit that justified that? And you have to understand when you're dealing with organized evil, you don't need crimes. These people relish torturing and killing innocent people because you're dealing with organized evil. What you have to do is have a glib answer ready to put forward. And certainly I heard this last week from Phyllis Schlafly. I asked the question, what do you do when a bad guy has a gun? How do you counter a bad guy with a gun? Why do you have a good guy with a gun? And basically in the areas where the people are armed, why the incidence of armed violence goes down. In the areas where you take away the weapons, like Washington, D.C. and New York City and Chicago, you have massive numbers of crimes. And, of course, the whole idea, well, if you just arm the people, ladies and gentlemen, it's only the honest people who give up their weapons. The criminals will not. And you're going to have more and more and more crime. And that's what they want, so they can justify more and more and more control. Remember, certainly, what do you do when you have a bad guy with a gun? You want a good guy with a gun. And there'd be somebody with a gun at Sandy Hook School in Connecticut, in Newtown, Connecticut. Those children would be alive today. And nobody wants to comment on that. And the media doesn't comment on it because they're not rigid control. If you haven't read the book, The New Media Monopoly, you need to get it. It goes into the control of the medium. If you want to know certainly about the spiritual battle, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to know about the very real threat that could result in the death of 9 out of 10 Americans within 6 to 12 months, you need to get the 4-CD set or the DVD, or both of them preferably. It's called The Threat of an EMP Attack. This is not imaginary. It's very, very real. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival for our leaders and our ministers, but understand that there are powerful supernatural forces out there. If you haven't actually read Constance Cumby's book, let me recommend it to you. It's called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. We carry secondhand copies because we want you to read the book. It's out of print, but we have those good condition. And then, of course, we have the 4-CD set of my interviews with Constance. It's called the Aquarian Conspiracy. The Aquarian Conspiracy. And then, of course, you need to get the DVD that goes with that, the talk that Constance Cumby gave here. And, well, I just call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the Constance Cumby's DVD on the occult movement in America. This is not imaginary. It's very real. It's very powerful. It dominates what's going on today. If you doubt that, go up on the Trilateral Commission website, trilateral.org, and look at their logo. It is made up of a circle of three curved arrows. And if you look very carefully and you're a little paranoid, you can obviously see the 666 there. The 666 made by those three arrows. But there's no question in the middle of why the three curved arrows are joined together by an upside-down broken cross, a modification of Nero's cross. Who was Nero? Why, he was the only German emperor who burned down Rome and blamed it on the Christians to justify slaughtering them. Why would the Trilateral Commission use that logo that's been around for thousands of years? Because it's demonic, ladies and gentlemen. It's truly demonic. What's the goal of the Trilateral Commission? A one-world government, a one-world religion, and certainly a one-world financial system. And ultimately, they're going to install a new one-world leader. This is what we're up against. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean white with gold.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show. It is Friday. The Feel Good Friday. Josh is in the studio with me today, and it is nice to have him back again. Welcome, Josh, to the Power Hour today.
Thank you for having me, George.
Thank you for being here. And things have gotten, of course, more bizarre every single day. Now, if you're living in Los Angeles and you have seen the drill, I'm doing air quotes right now, in Los Angeles, you're saying, you have got to be kidding me. You're also wondering why Verizon thinks they need to be able to turn over your documents to the government so they can know what phone calls you made. And everybody's going, oh, okay. And then they say, as they poke you in the other eye with a stick, and we've been doing it for 6 years also.
Well, of course they have. Should have just assumed they were.
And then they throw in, well, Bush administration started it, so it's now just the Obama. It is all a flaming agenda. That's what it is. Hurricane Andrea is hitting the East Coast right out of the box. We got the first hurricane hitting, first named hurricane hitting. And I'm sure.